we praise you. Once again, you get us together on the day of your resurrection. Lord, we pray that you will infuse yourself into us. Together we bind your enemy, bind all his distractions. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we want to turn our heart to you so that all the veils will be taken away. Lord, we have no trust in ourselves. Our trust is in you. We consecrate this meeting into your hand. And we want you to have the first place in everything. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, cover us with your victorious blood. Protect us in every way. We pray in your precious name. Amen. You know, we just had a similar training on the book of Genesis. And so we have 12 messages. I, of course, cannot, I definitely know I cannot cover all the 12 messages. So I just share something I feel it is most important. The thing I'm very much burdened is I think about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, some congressman proposed a bill in the Congress, and they said in the United States, all the students had heard about evolution for more than 100 years. They feel this is not fair. So just for the sake of to be fair, in the schools, we also should teach the theory of creation. But eventually, this bill was not passed because there are many proofs that the scientists have discovered that the Earth was not 6,000 years old. The Earth is much, much older than the 6,000. And so eventually, they thought the, in others, they were based on Genesis chapter 1. So they think that the Bible teaches us that God only used 6 days to create the earth. And so that is too unscientific. So eventually that did not that bill was not passed. But actually, this is something that really burdened me very much. And the Bible never said the earth only has 6,000 years. It was the people's natural concept, especially in the Middle Age time. Those ignorant popes, they thought the earth is flat, not round. But actually, excuse me, I talk too much lately. But anyway, so it is not the Bible is unscientific. It is because people don't understand what Genesis chapter 1 is talking about. That is the. That's why we are very much burdened. We hope at least all the saints in the Lord's recovery, we should understand what's going on here. And both Brother Ni and Brother Lee point out to us that actually in Genesis chapter 1, the only verse that is related to God's creation is verse 1. What does chapter 1, verse 1 say? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, right? Very simple. Only this one verse is talking about God's creation. Started from verse 2, it's no longer have anything to do with God's creation. How do we know? Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "But the earth became waste, and emptiness and darkness was on the surface of the deep." So here it says, when God created the heavens and the earth, then the earth became waste. That means it became nothing. It's empty. And yeah, then it's emptiness. And then darkness. That means in darkness means it's dark and there's no light. And also was the service of the deep. Now this service of the deep, this deep refers to the sea, the deep sea. And this always refers to death. So this was the description here in verse 2, that earth was like this. Then based on this, we know that this Genesis chapter 1, starting from verse 2, is no longer talking about God's creation. Now, how do we know? This is what Brother Watchman Nee and Brother Lee taught us. That is, we always need to explain every verse based on the Bible. In other words, if we really want to know the whole Bible, we need to know the whole Bible. You cannot just pick up one or two verses and thinking that you know what the Bible is talking about. That's why this morning we also read the book of Job. If you have Bible, please turn to the book of Job. And Job was quite ancient. He was approximately the same time as Abraham. So how do we know? Because they lived approximately the same years. Both of them lived something like 170 years. So here in Job chapter 1, it tells us there was a man in the land of Uz, and whose name was Job. And this man was perfect and upright, and he feared God and turned away from evil. So you see that this person, Job, is such a person. He was very upright. He was very fearing the Lord, and so perfect person. And but then Satan attacked him. So many terrible things happened to him. Actually, this Job, not only he was a righteous person, not only that he feared God, he also was a very rich person. He had many, like in verse 3 says, his possessions were 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 female donkeys and a great many servants, and this man was greater than all the sons of the east. So he not only was a righteous person, and also he was a very rich person. But then one day, Satan attacked him, and first got all his possessions away. People came and to rob him, and so he lost his oxen and so forth. And I don't want to spend much time on this. And we just know that he was a righteous person, he was a perfect person, and he worshiped God. And then he was very, even after he suffered so many things, he never cursed God or complained to God. No, he was not like that. But he had three friends, but his three friends were not the same as the three friends Daniel had. We know Daniel also had three friends, but those three friends, they really knew God, they knew the Lord, and they were one with Daniel. But these three friends, even though the Bible didn't say this, based on what all the words they said to Job, you could see that these three friends are not like Daniel's friends. And these three friends were all talking according to the tree of knowledge and good and evil. So they just kept trying to impress Job. He must have done something wrong. That's why all these terrible things happened to him. And so Job says he didn't do the wrong things. And so they argue and argue. Then eventually God himself came in. And it's the first God rebuke all those three friends. Say, you didn't know what you're talking about. So then stop talking, shut up. And then God talked to Job directly. So here in Job chapter 38, and verse 1 said, "Then Jehovah answered Job out of the whirlwind and said." So these following verses was what the Lord speaking to Job. And in verse 4 it says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements if you know? Or who stretched the measuring line over it?" So this is what God said. Evidently, God was talking to Job and let Job to know that he did not know many, many things. Don't think that he was such a righteous person, but then he really did not know God. So this was what God tried to impress him. But then, God was talking about his creating the earth. But then in the following verse, it says, "Unto what were its bases sank, or who laid its cornerstone?" Then verse 7 is very important. It says, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." This is a very crucial verse. So in other words, this verse shows a number of things. First of all, the earth and the heaven were not created at the same time. At the time when God created the earth, at that time, the heaven was created long time before that. And also at the time when God created the earth, and already there were many, many stars. We know our sun is one of the stars in our galaxy. And so here it says there were many stars. It says when the morning stars sang together. Now you said, no, how can a star sing? Like, how can our sun sing hymns? No, they don't say hymns. But actually today, all the scientists know, all the real stars, we know moon is not a star, and the sun is the star. And all the stars, they send out radio signals. So you can consider that as they are singing, okay? Not only they were singing, and also all the sons of God shouting for joy. In other words, by that time, at the time when the earth was created, God already created many living creatures. Now today, you know, NASA is spending billions of dollars trying to reach Mars and to try to find out whether there was water on Mars. Because if they could find water on Mars, then there's a big opportunity. Once upon a time on Mars, they were living creatures. They are so foolish to waste so much money. They spend billions of dollars trying to send something to Mars. They're really wasting their money. They just read the Bible right away, you know. Apart from human beings, there were many other living creatures, right? There are many angels, and the angels were servants of God. Not only there are many angels, and also if you read the book of Ezekiel, and in Ezekiel mentioned many the living creatures, especially the famous one was the four living creatures, how they coordinate together. So you can see at the time when God created the earth, the heaven was already there. Not only the heaven was there, and God also had created many living creatures. So when it says the sons of God, that does not mean that these living creatures have God's life. We are the real sense of God because we have the divine life. But then the other sense of God, they were called the sense of God only because God created them. So then what do you see? You see the picture at the time when God created the earth. It was a very happy, very glorious condition, right? The sense was singing, and then these sense of God were what? Shouting for joy. That description here in Job is absolutely different from Genesis 1, verse 2, right? And the Genesis 1, verse 2 did not have this kind of glorious and joyful condition. Genesis chapter 2 shows what kind of picture. It's a completely different picture. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that there was emptiness, not only emptiness, and also dark, no light, and also because of all these things, and so men, and the worst thing is the death was there. So you could see that when Genesis chapter 1 come to the second verse, you already know verse 2 has nothing to do with God's creation, because this condition mentioned here is completely different from what Jehovah God said in Job chapter 38. I think this is clear, right? So therefore, but the problem was that maybe 99% of Christians, or even 99% of Christian preachers, did not understand what Genesis chapter 1 was talking about. And that's why they just blindly believe that the earth is flat, and then they also believe God created the earth and heaven at the same time, and also God created in 6 days. And so, again, it is not the Bible is unscientific, but it is people don't understand the Bible. But we thank the Lord. First of all, we should not be proud. None of us dare to be proud. And we are nothing, but it is God's mercy. God's mercy, He revealed all these things in the Lord's recovery. And so the reason God revealed these things to us, it is what? Genesis chapter 1 and also chapter 2. It's not try to reveal to us what is the condition, what is the description of God's creation. No. We have to see this time in the summer training. I believe that the brothers have made it very clear, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, what is the thing God wants to reveal to us. God did not want to reveal to us how did He create heaven and earth. One thing we have to be very clear, you know, we have Summer School of the Truth, and this year, the Summer School of the Truth here happened to be, we will talk about the Bible. And I really hope that all the parents and the grandparents encourage your young ones to come to the Summer School of the Truth, so that they can be equipped with the truth, okay? So what is the truth? The truth shows us that in Genesis chapter 1, it shows us one is the principle of life, the principle of the growth of life. Another thing is Genesis chapter 1 and 2 reveal to us God's eternal purpose, God's heart desire. This is what Genesis 1 and 2 wanted to reveal to us. So I hope that all of us be clear about this. And so then, first of all, this verse 2, there's this word, the Hebrew word. It says in verse 2, it says that God's restoration and further, no, in verse 2, but the earth became waste and emptiness. This word became is very crucial. That means what? That means that the time when God first created the earth was not like this. Then eventually it became this. Why it became this? It's because one of the angels, actually he was one of the archangels, and rebel against God. Then you said, since God is God, why he wanted to create an angel that would rebel against him? No, because all God's creation concerning the living things, not the other animals, but only these high level life, and God always gave us the free will. In other words, that God is not interested in what? God is not interested in robot.
Right.
And you know that not too long ago, I read the news. Last year, in the United States, there were 6,000 couples. They wanted to adopt the children from Russia or China or some other countries. And when I was young, this is not just last year, very often this happened. And I did not understand why these couples wanted to find so many problems for themselves. We all know that to have a real living boys or girls is not an easy thing. The first 1.5 years was good, and they can call daddy, mommy. But then once they reach the second years, that's what? Terrible too, right? So then their rebellious nature start to come out. And whatever you want them to do, you should eat. Then they say, no, I don't want to eat. So what's the best way to feed them? Just say, I won't allow you to eat. They say, oh no, I want to eat. So that's the fallen human nature. Why we don't get a lot of robots. It's easy today to create such kind of robots. You can build a robot, and every morning, and he can come to you, daddy, mommy, good morning, I love you, I will obey you, and you can easily create a robot like this. But no couple want to have the robots. Even we human beings cannot be satisfied with robots. How much more God did not want robots? He wants people with free will, and he wants people to use our free will to choose him, to love him, to obey him. I think this is very clear, right? So then the thing that we want to introduce to all this sense is that, what is the Genesis chapter 1? Oh, one more thing I want to say. And this is what we want to the first thing we want to teach the young ones is that the Bible is the Word of God. It's very clear, but it is, what is mentioned in the Bible is not anything in the universe. Rather, the Bible is like a letter our Heavenly Father and our Lord and want to send to us. In other words, what God wants to talk to us about is not anything not related to us, but it's something related to us and profitable to us. In other words, for instance, I have two daughters, and then they all got their master's degree. One field was biology. Another was public health. But anyway, when I asked my daughter, that older one and what kind of research you are doing. She wouldn't tell me. She just mostly just tell me one sentence. That is, she was doing the research to see whether these the kind of I forget the name, but anyway, the kind of wild what you can eat these things. Mushroom. That's right, mushroom. Okay, so she was doing the research, trying to find out whether the mushroom can help us prevent the cancer. So that was her research, and just like in Genesis chapter 1, God only tell us in the beginning He created heaven and earth. That's good enough. Why? Because God alone created this old creation, and we don't need to know how did God create the old creation, because that has nothing to do with us, and we were not existed at that time. And so only those things are related to us. For instance, people will ask, now, if a baby die, now, will he be saved, or will he be thrown into the lake of fire? We don't know. Because whoever asks this question, you are not a baby. So why should he worry about what will happen to the baby? We know God is righteous. He will not do anything unrighteous. So forget about it. So the same thing, that God in everything in the Bible is only related to us and profitable to us. Then, so the Bible will tell us. Therefore, don't try to ask for other things or try to know other things just to satisfy our curiosity. No, so we need to know to be very clear about this. So here, it's very clear. Verse 2 is the description of us before we were saved. Now, when we were in this world, our condition, before we received the Lord as our Savior, what is our condition? Our condition is exactly the same as verse 2 described, right? Many times, all of us, sooner or later, you will have an empty feeling. You will feel all things are empty, meaningless. And then we are all in darkness. Now, what is the sign of darkness? We said many times before, and darkness means you can only see other people's problem. You can never see your own weakness. Why? Because you're in darkness. And then, and also you have death. And we, within us, we did not have the divine life. Our human life is not a strong life. So no later, our human life will end and we will die. So this is our condition. But then, how will we be saved? The first is what? The first, according to just the Bible used this word, day. The first is the light. And the first day, God said, let us have light. Now, once you have light, then you will see. Then the second day is, then God separate the water above the air and the below the air. In other words, the separation. Now, where did this, or how did this separation happen? The separation happened when we received the light. What does that mean? That means before we believe in the Lord, before we receive the divine light into us, and then our condition is the condition described in verse 2. But once we receive the light, then we know what is above, what is below. That is the separation between heaven and earth. And before we were saved, before we received the light, you know, in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in Him, in the Lord Jesus, in Him is the light, and is the life in him, the in the Lord is the life, and the life is the light of man. Before we receive Christ, we are blind. And very often, many low things, even some evil things, and the things with the enjoyment of sin, and people think those things are important. And then, when we talk about the triune God, we talk about the eternal things, people think, oh, these things means nothing. Why do you people spend so much time to go to the meetings? Why on the Lord's Day morning you don't catch up on your sleep and come here? Why people will always talk this way? Because they are in darkness. Before they receive the Lord, before they receive the light, they cannot see things clearly. And that they would not have the right kind of sense of value. But once we receive the Lord, then we receive the light, and then we can really separate the things above from the things below. Right? Then the third day is when the land came out of the sea. And the land refers to the Lord's resurrection. The Lord was crucified on Friday, but on the third day, he resurrected. So the land coming out of the sea is the type that Christ was resurrected. In his resurrection, and we can he became the life-giving spirit, and so we can receive him into us to be our life. But in the beginning, the life was still the low level. It's the plant life. And then the vegetables and these are the low life. It's not the high life. Even though some of the trees can live for maybe 1,000 years, but if you talk to him, if you kick him, if you rebuke him, these trees will not have any feeling. Why? Because their life is not a high level life. It's a low level life. But then, in order for us to have the real growth in life, we need to receive the light body. So the fourth day is the light body. In other words, that light is not in a general way. That light is very solid. And on the fourth day, you have these two light bodies. One is the sun, another is the moon. The sun is the type of Christ. In the Bible, very often, and the Bible used the sun to typify Christ. And the moon is the church. The moon does not have light itself. The moon only to reflect the light of the sun. So that is, in other words, in order for us to grow more in the divine life, and we need to see Christ and the church. We need to take Christ as our life and the church as our living. That is the fourth day. Then the fifth day, you have two kinds of lives. One is the fish. The sea typifies this evil world. But because we have received the divine life into us, even though today we are in the world, but we are not of the world, and we are not like many other religion, including the Catholic Church and also the Buddhist. They wanted to go to the wilderness and to a place no one there, and so they thought when they were alone by themselves, then they will have good. They will not lose their temper. And they will not fight with anybody. But then, sometimes they are still fighting with themselves. And I don't want to get into these different stories. But anyway, we are not running away from the society. If we all go to the wilderness, go to the forest, and who would preach gospel to the unbelievers in this world? But then how dare that we will stay in this evil world. We have the divine life in us. We have the fish life. A living fish in the sea, it will not be affected by the sea. In other words, if you got a living fish, we all know, and the fish was not salty because it has life, and so it's not affected by his salty environment. A dead fish, it will become a salty fish, but the living fish that will not be affected by the environment. Not only that you have fish life, then you also have a higher life than the fish was the birds. The birds are flying, and so all the things on the earth will not touch the birds. Now, what kind of life we have today, and what kind of level of life we have? Do we have the fish life? Or do we have the bird life? If we had the bird life, the things on the earth would not touch us. Sometimes the people's, I'm not against whether you buy stocks or you don't buy stocks, but if when the stock is up and you're so happy, and when the stock drops and you cannot sleep and you're so sad. But that means you still don't have the bird's life yet. Or maybe you have the bird's life just a little bit, maybe only 2 inches high, but so these small things won't touch you. But then if something more serious happens, you cannot take. So again, we need to enjoy the Lord. We need to let the divine life grow inside of us. Okay, and then on the this is the fifth day. On the sixth day, in the morning, you have the animals. And it, not only the animals on the ground, and it specifically say it's cattle. You know that the cattle, whether it's on the Western world or on the Eastern world, always, in ancient time, they always used cattle to plot the field to produce the food. So today, when our life growth to higher level, and the more life we have, the more we will serve other people. Just like what the Lord Jesus said, I come not to be served, but to serve. And so today, how can you know whether a person's life is high level or low level? You just look. The babies, of course, is most selfish person, right? They don't care for anybody else. All the babies, if they are hungry, and if any baby here, and probably they will shout, they will cry, and they don't care. Oh, a few hundred people here, you will disturb people. No, they don't care. And they only care for themselves. But then the higher level of the life we have, and then the more we will serve other people. And so then that is the in the morning. But then the last thing that you have on the sixth day is that God created man according to his own image. And this is the wonderful things. This is what chapter 1 wants to reveal to us. This is God's heart's desire. This is God's eternal economy and God's eternal purpose. What is God's eternal purpose? God wants to gain a corporate man for his corporate expression and the corporate representation. Now this we have said many, many times in the past. I hope that you still remember all these things. But then this is what the chapter 1 wants to show to us. God's eternal purpose and God's eternal economy. That is, God wants to get a corporate man to express him and also to represent him. Now, in other words, God did not want to fight with his enemy, Satan. He did not want to lower himself. So he wanted to have another creature. We were created by God. And so he wants us to fight Satan. That's why Satan often wants to attack the church, because maybe we are not very clear about these things. Satan knew this very clearly. He knew once the church is built up, then his time will be over. So we should not be afraid of the Satan. Satan actually is afraid of us if we live in Christ. And I hope that all these pictures clear to all of us. But then, how can we express, whether personally or corporately, how can we express God? We, in our own life, can never express God. And we can, none of us can imitate God. And in order to express God, we have to have God's divine life. Therefore, in chapter 2 of Genesis, you see the tree of life. The tree of life is Christ, and God is our life in Christ. And so this is what we see in the chapter 2. So that's why the tree of life is extremely important. And we all need to come to Christ to enjoy Christ. Now, and also, don't think that we are smarter than the Bible. While I say this, actually, from different times, the different theologians, they think they were smarter than the Bible, and so they sometimes change the Bible. And now it's already probably more than 10 years ago, a certain group, they tried to translate the Bible. And then in Revelation chapter 22, it talks about the tree on both sides, on this side and on the other side, and they have the tree of life. That means wherever we are, we can always touch and enjoy the divine life. But then those translators said, how could a tree could be on both sides? It's impossible. So then they change it. They change this tree of life, singular number, to plural number. So they said the trees of life. They said, oh, they are so smart. And so otherwise, how could this tree of life on both sides? Now that is because they are blind, sorry to say. And why? Because the Lord himself told us he was the true vine. He was that vine tree. Actually, among all the trees, vine is the only tree that the branches could cover both sides of the river. And so this, in other words, the Lord Jesus is the real tree of life, and the tree of life actually is the spiritual vine. And so it's the Bible is always 100% accurate. And so we should never try to change the Bible. And so I just mentioned this. So all of us, after we studied Genesis 1 and 2, we really need to know what is God's eternal purpose. And God's eternal purpose is that he wants to gain a corporate man for his corporate expression and a corporate representation. And then, so how can we achieve this? That is, we ourselves in our own life can never imitate God, can never achieve this. All what we need to do is to receive God's divine life into us. Just like what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. And there, of course, he used sheep to describe us. We were his sheep. He is our shepherd. He said, I come that they might have life and have abundantly. Now, I mentioned many times, I hope you still remember, that is, the New Testament is not written by Chinese or English or any other language. The New Testament is written by the Greek language. Why? It's because in all the languages, life is just one word, life. In Chinese, life is sinming. And then in English, life is life. There's not another word to use to mean life. And the Spanish, life is vida. And also only one word. And then all these, I have checked many languages. My answer was always, there's only one word for life. But the Greek language has three words for this life. Now, one is bios. Bios is the life in our physical body. Now, even though we have many organs inside, but how can all these organs were functioning? How can the heart is pumping, the lung is breathing, and because we have a physical life. And then this physical life in Greek is called bios. Now today the biology is derived from this word bios. And then in addition to our physical body, we also have the psychological part. So that is not physical, but you cannot say that it does not exist. It does exist. That is, we have our mind, our emotion, our will. But these things are not touchable. It's not physical, but they are there. And so this is the Greek word is psyche. Psyche means psychological part of our being. And so today, the psychology is derived by or from this word psyche. And our human beings, our human life is a psyche life. So that's why in the Bible, the word person and also the word psyche is used interchangeably. In other words, a person's real, what made our personality is based on our this psyche life. And so that is the life of our soul. And then there's another word, the third word, only the Greek language has this word, that is Zoe. Zoe means the life of God. Now, in all the languages, only Greeks had this word, Zoe. And then, therefore, once we read the New Testament, right away we know what kind of life the Bible was talking about. So in John chapter 10, verse 10, when the Lord Jesus said that I come that they might have life and have abundantly, that life he used was Zoe. In other words, the life God wants to give to us is the divine life. And not only he wants to give divine life to us, and he wants to give the divine life to us abundantly. Then in verse 11, the next verse, he said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave up his life. But that life was psyche life. In other words, Christ came to be a man. As a man, he died on the cross and to pay the wages of sin for us, to accomplish the work of redemption and to satisfy God's righteous requirement. So in verse 11, he make it very clear. He could never give out the divine life. He wants to give the divine life to us. But when he was crucified on the cross, it's not that his divine life was dead. It will never die. But it is in his human life, he died for our sins. So all these are very clear in the Bible. So I just mentioned this, and I just hope I said this to some of the young people. I hope that one day they will run for either Congress to be congressman or to be a senator, and hopefully at that time they can propose this bill again. And then don't stick to the Christianity tradition that God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. And so just read the life study to them, and hopefully by that time, this bill will be passed. Okay? So, okay, I stop here.
A special announcement. As you saints probably know, our beloved sister Pearl Chang Lee went to be with the Lord last Tuesday. So there will be a meeting for her here in New York later on. We'll announce it. But right now, this coming July 20th in the West Coast, there will be a memorial meeting for Pearl Chang Lee. And the details are on the bulletin board. Our memorial meeting will be Saturday, August 3rd at 10 a.m. We remind the saints to pray for the family at this time. So now let's have some prayers, and then it's your turn to share what you have enjoyed.